for a few moments tonight, if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 1. And our text is to be found in verse 46 to verse 47. Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to verse 47. Let us hear God's word. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour." Dear congregation, we view here a certain well-known woman who was a sinner rejoicing in the Lord. The Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Rejoice in him. There's much cause for rejoicing in him. On a day of blessing, when the sun is shining, but also in a day of darkness. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Well, let me begin by asking you two questions tonight. Firstly, have you truly rejoiced in the Lord? Do you know what it is to truly rejoice in him? To think of Christ and rejoice sincerely in your hearts? And then secondly, if so, when did you last truly rejoice in the Lord? We read in Philippians 4 verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Here's the exhortation. And dear congregation, when we truly consider the Lord and what he has done and the blessings that are bestowed upon the people of God, we should be found rejoicing in him every day. Not a day should pass. So then when do we last rejoice in the Lord? Well, now Mary, the mother of Jesus, was informed by the angel Gabriel that the Holy Ghost would come and by his power, she would conceive in her womb and bring forth a son whom was to be called the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this was amazing news to Mary. And if you follow through the account here, afterwards she is also informed that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived, which was miraculous considering her age. Well, come with me to verse 36. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Note those words there, "with God nothing shall be impossible." The Lord did it. Well, Mary, after hearing this news, goes southward to visit her cousin. And no sooner has Elizabeth heard Mary's voice, the child leaped in her womb for joy. We're thinking there of John the Baptist. Come with me to verse 41. "And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost." You see the effect it had on John the Baptist, even in the womb. And in that miraculous way, he was giving understanding. He leaped there in the womb. He rejoiced. Those are amazing things, aren't they? The babe leaped in her womb, thinking of John the Baptist, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She is inspired to speak. So the babe leaps, and afterwards, firstly, Elizabeth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaks forth a word of praise. And then Mary utters a word or song of praise. Notice verse 46, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath oped, hath he sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. She's inspired and she utters this word, this song of praise. Now there's two things which are important as we understand this song. First of all, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And then secondly, we note that there are at least 9 references to the Psalms here in this song. Well, Mary begins with these words of our text tonight. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Her heart is touched. And here she is, she who was a sinner, found rejoicing in Christ the Saviour. Well, as we come to these two verses tonight, I'd like us to consider, first of all, the sinner, that's Mary. Secondly, the Saviour. And then thirdly, the song. The sinner, the Saviour, the song. First of all, the sinner. Note these words. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Mary knew herself to be a sinner, for she's rejoicing in God, her Saviour, having faith in Jesus. Listen to Fisher. She needed a Saviour as much as others and believed in him for salvation from sin. Note these words again. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. And it's plain, she's inspired here by the Holy Spirit and she's offering praise. She recognizes herself to be a sinner. She rejoices in God, her Saviour. She was a sinner. Now remember, our Lord himself rebuked her on one occasion for speaking in a way that was not right. She had overstepped herself, recorded for us in John 2 verse 4. Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. She overstepped herself. She forgot who she was. And our Lord must rebuke her. She had done amiss there at the marriage of Cana. Mary was a sinner. And in this song she knew it. For she rejoices in God, her Saviour. She knew she needed a Saviour, whom she had. Dear congregation, Rome has got it wrong. If Rome only listened to Mary herself, my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Rome believes that Mary was perfect. Mary disagrees, for she's rejoicing in her Saviour. She wouldn't rejoice in her Saviour if she didn't recognize that she was a sinner. Mary was a sinner. And she knew it. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. She's so thankful here. She's so thankful she thinks of her Saviour who would cover her. Now it's plainly evident that she knew the Psalms. That's so evident here in this song. There's 9 references at least to the Psalms. She knew the Psalms, and she would sing those words in Psalm 51, verse 4. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Thee only have I sinned, she would have sung those words, along with so many. She would have known those words in Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Rome thinks her to be perfect, but she would have sung those words in Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity. She knew herself to be a sinner. Do you recognize that tonight? Now, we meet many people who say, well, they're not perfect. But to say they are a sinner, they would not even consider saying it. And why do people not want to say they're a sinner? Because they do not want to acknowledge God and the need of salvation. Yes, they're acknowledged, they don't do everything right. But to say they're a sinner, they won't have it. because they know they must go to the Lord. Now we are all sinners. Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned, including Mary. All descending from Adam by ordinary generation are born sinners. Only one was born without sin, by special generation, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we will consider in a moment. But all others, descending by ordinary generation, our Lord was special or extraordinary, but all others, ordinary generation, are born sinners. Sinners. And Mary knew herself to be a sinner. Yet how many in Rome have believed the falsehood of their theology? Mary believed and she knew herself to be a sinner. Well, let's for a moment think about sin. We think firstly of original sin, the sin that is passed on from Adam, the sin of our nature. Before we were found committing some actual sin in time, we were sinners. Original sin. As we think of original sin, it's divided into two. First of all, original sin imputed or put to. We had that word this morning. What was imputed? The guilt of Adam's first sin. Romans 5 verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The breach of the covenant is charged upon all mankind, descending from Adam by ordinary generation. Original sin imputed, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam was head and representative of mankind, and through what Adam did, mankind was shipwrecked, ruined by the fall. All have sinned. We think of original sin imputed, but then secondly, original sin inherent. The want of original righteousness and the corruption of the whole nature. Remember those words of Job in Job 14 verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Original sin, we cannot get away from the truth of it. Original sin is so plain to see. But then let's think secondly of actual sin. Thought of original sin, but now actual sin. We're sinners before we did some actual sin. Well, let's think of actual sin. Dear congregation, we transgress the law. 1 John 3 verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. You remember the catechism for the young people, the children? What is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. There's a transgression. The law is broken. You think sometimes you see it, do you not? There's a sign up the road and other places. Trespassers will be prosecuted. And what does it mean if somebody goes in, breaks the line, goes over the gate? They transgress. Think of the transgression of the law. It's sin. Well, as we think about sin, consider how sin has brought great misery. What damage, what hurt has been done to oneself and to others? What damage? Think of the misery in this country. Think what happened a few days ago. A man, 79, stabbed to death because a young man got angry in his car. What sin has done? And then think what happened in Tunisia and many other places out in Charleston. What sin has done? What sin has done to our nation? And we're going to reap the fruits of it forever. What damage, what hurt. What sin has done. Think further tonight of the breach that has come about because of sin. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, but your behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Unbelievers are not in fellowship with the Lord. That's why they won't come. They don't want to praise the Lord, because they're not in fellowship with him. They do not know him. No true desire. There's this separation. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You see where the finger is pointed at? It's pointed at the sinner. And God points the finger at so many sinners tonight. And because of their sin, there is separation. What separation? There's so many people in this country. They do not know communion with God. They do not know fellowship with God. They do not know the joy of dining with Christ. Remember those words in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. There's a knocking to dine. So many do not know the blessing of dining with Christ. Oh, what sin has done. We'll think further tonight of the punishment of sin. Men without Christ are under the wrath and curse of God. God is angry with the wicked every day, we read of in the Psalms. And then think of the curse. Without Christ, one is under the sentence of the law. And as we think of the sentence of the law, we think of the sentence of death, bodily death. So many people are facing death in this country as a punishment. Dear brethren, are you not thankful? You're not facing death as a punishment. But so many are. Bodily death and spiritual death. There's this deadness in the soul we read of in Timothy of the lady who's dead while she liveth. And that sums up the unbeliever. They're physically alive, but they're dead spiritually. Under the sentence of death, then thirdly, eternal death. In a place called hell. And I say this lovingly tonight. There are so many facing such punishment now in hell. Well, as we consider these things, what a blessing to know the Redeemer. We who are sinners, what a blessing to know Christ, the spotless Redeemer, and to be found rejoicing in him. Mary knew herself to be a sinner, but she had the blessing of rejoicing in Jesus, her Saviour. My spirit have rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Dear brethren, we're sinners. Dear congregation, we are sinners. What a blessing to be praising the Lord, rejoicing in him. Well, firstly tonight then, we consider the sinner, it's Mary. But let's consider secondly, the Saviour. Verse 47. My spirit have rejoiced in God, my Saviour. She thinks here of God, and particularly God the Son, who is God's salvation. In Luke chapter 2, remember Simeon, Lord willing, we'll consider in a month or two's time. He in prayer said this, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And remember who he had in his arms as he said it, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, God's salvation. We think particularly of the Lord Jesus Christ, and Mary is rejoicing in the Lord. My spirit have rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Think for a moment of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn the page to chapter 2. Those well-known words, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. You note those words there. good tidings of great joy. You understand why England, Scotland, Ireland, and Wales are so unhappy. They're so miserable because they do not know the tidings of great joy, the news of a Saviour. And yes, they may know passing joys, but they will never know true and lasting joys until they know Christ. And we cannot expect a nation to know great joy, true joy, until many turn to Christ. Note these words again, for fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord, the Saviour. And yet so many will have nothing to do with him. How miserable they are. Is there anyone here tonight, really, you're just miserable because you do not know Jesus? He is the only Saviour. There's no one else. Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. On Thursday at the school in Ringwood, I noticed these Hindu girls just two lines in front of me. And they were looking at me. And I wonder what they thought when I told them of Jesus, that through him one goes to heaven. I saw their eyes. It was plain that they'd been taught some other way. But there's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. He was the chosen one. The covenant was made with him. In the covenant of grace which was made before this world was created, only Christ was chosen as representative and given for the covenant of the people, Isaiah 42 verse 6. The work of accomplishing redemption rested on his shoulders alone. Psalm 89 verse 19. I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. There's the Father in eternity before this world was made, laying help on Christ, the mighty one. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. How amazing is Psalm 89 verse 19. We're given a glimpse into eternity before this world was made. I have laid help on one that is mighty. And there's the Father placing the help the people of God needed upon the mighty one, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Saviour. He is the Saviour. His name is Jesus. Young ones, you know what his name means. Go back to verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. It's so hard to hear, isn't it, when people blaspheme the name of Jesus. They do not know him. They do not know what his name means. What does it mean? Jehovah is salvation. He saves. And so we read in Matthew 1 verse 21, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. He came to save. He accomplished redemption. He endured the cross. He died on the cross. Have you looked to him? Have you looked to him by way of faith? Now what do we read here? My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Now this is an amazing thing. Here is Mary, a sinner, in acquaintance with the spotless Saviour. That's amazing, isn't it? She looked to him by way of faith. A dear child of God, what an amazing thing. We who are sinners are an acquaintance with a spotless Saviour. We are an acquaintance with an infinitely holy God. How amazing is his grace. We thought earlier what sin has done, the separation. How amazing that we who are sinners know fellowship with an infinite God of mercy and holiness. Notice what Mary says. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. This is amazing, isn't it? She knew Christ in her heart before he was born. She knew Christ in her heart before he was born. In God, my Saviour. Are you an acquaintance with Christ? You've all heard of William Wilberforce, haven't you? You know he was born in the 18th century. You know of him, don't you? My wife, just over a month ago, went to his house in Hull and stood outside. You know he was connected with the abolition of the slave trade. You know him, but no one knows him here tonight. You've never met him. You've heard of Christ. Do you know him in a saving way? Do you truly know him? Many have heard of Christ in this land, but so many do not know him. What a blessing to know him, to have saving knowledge. Have you met him by faith? Remember what Job could say, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. My Redeemer. Do you know him? Are you rejoicing in him tonight? One you personally know. Think there of Job, he's rejoicing in his Redeemer. For I know who my Redeemer is. I know him. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Can you say that tonight? Can you think of Christ now? And does your heart find itself being lifted up to heaven? And you focus your eye of faith on him, and you're considering Christ who sits on the throne. Are you saying, I know that my Redeemer liveth? I know him to be there. To young ones, he's there. Do you know him to be there? I know him to be there. He lives. Are you acquainted with him? Are you aware of his presence in a spiritual way here tonight? For he gathers with the brethren. Are you in acquaintance with the Saviour? And is this not an amazing thing we have here? A sinner Mary. In acquaintance with a perfect Saviour. United to a perfect Saviour. How amazing, dear brethren. We're in union with Christ. We're sinners. But we're in union with the spotless Redeemer. The spotless Saviour. God, my Saviour. What a blessing to be able to say he is mine. We think of him who came into this world. You think of him who lived here upon earth. You think of him who died on the cross, who rose again. You think of Jesus. What a blessing to be able to say, he's my Saviour. Mine. The one who died on the cross belongs to me. What a wonderful thing. I'm a sinner. He's the spotless one, yet he belongs to me. And he looks on me as belonging to him. Note these words of Mary here. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Saviour. And if you can say that, you can look at death. Yes, it will be a difficult time. But if you can say he's your Saviour, my Saviour, all will be well. As you view your life, however long, whether it be long or short, all will be well. What a blessing to be able to say tonight, my Saviour. As we think of the gospel, good tidings of great joy. What a blessing to consider Christ and know he is mine. As you sit in the pew tonight, are you an acquaintance with him? We thought earlier of those words, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. If you're an acquaintance with Christ, it shouldn't be too long, should it? Between those times we have found rejoicing in him. Sometimes there's a length, a gap, because we backslide. But all we should be found rejoicing when we consider he belongs to us, does the glorious Saviour, the spotless Saviour, the wonderful Redeemer belong to you? Well, thirdly and finally tonight, the song. We thought firstly of the sinner, Mary. Secondly, the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is God the Son. We think thirdly tonight, the song. The sinner, Mary, the Saviour, Jesus, and now the song. Verse 46, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Now please understand that Mary was under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. That's so important to understand. She's under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And being inspired by the Holy Ghost, she uttered these words of praise, which are found here in the Word of God. Mary is found praising the Lord. Note those words, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Dear congregation, we may be able to sing. Some of us not so well, but we may be able to sing. And Mary's heard here by Elizabeth. Note where it comes from. Her heart. My soul doth magnify the Lord. You know how it is, you can sing and then suddenly, what did I just sing? I remember once I was stood next to my brother-in-law and he sang something. And I said to him, did you understand what you sang? He said, no. And it suddenly dawned on him something. You know, sometimes we can suddenly think, well, what did I just sing? And suddenly we realize we were just singing with our lips. Mary, her heart is moved. My soul doth magnify the Lord. My heart, my spirit have rejoiced in God, my Saviour. Note this thing here tonight. It came from our heart. And it makes all the difference, doesn't it? When it comes from our heart, when we sing the praises of the Lord from our hearts, like Mary, the praises of the Lord from our heart, my soul. What a blessing it is when the soul is moved in view of Christ. Do you know that? The soul moved in view of Christ, thinking of Christ. He's my beloved Saviour, and singing praise. My soul, my spirit, says Mary, it came from our heart. Oh, that it would always come from the heart, and not just the lip. Oh, that the Lord would look on our hearts and see that song of praise coming from. Note here, she magnified the Lord. She rejoiced in Christ. Psalm 34, verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 69, verse 30, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Magnify him. We cannot add to the greatness of God, but oh, we can have higher thoughts of God. And as we think of those words in Psalm 34, O magnify the Lord with me, we can encourage others to have higher thoughts of God. And that's what we desire, isn't it? Oh, that others would have higher thoughts of God. That we would have higher thoughts of God. Higher thoughts of what he has done, his amazing grace. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Oh, to be taken with the Lord, knowing him and having such high thoughts, being lost in wonder, love and praise. My soul doth magnify the Lord. Notice she rejoiced in the Lord. Psalm 35 verse 9. My soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation. What does Mary say here? Inspired by the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Her heart was touched, and she's found rejoicing in the Lord. In my study yesterday afternoon, I thought of the empty tomb, and it brought joy to me. The empty tomb. He's alive. He's risen from the dead. Have you a joy in your soul? Think of the joy in the heart of Mary here. She's a sinner, but there's joy there. How amazing it is to know true joy in our hearts with sinners, but to have joy within. Psalm 4 verse 7, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. The psalmist thinks of a harvest time. The harvest is gathered in, and there's a time of joy. We think of a harvest supper. There's a time of joy. The harvest is in before the winter storms begin. But the psalmist says, thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and their wine increase. Is put within. The grace is stirred within. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, worldly joys do put gladness into the face, but the Spirit of God puts gladness into the heart. Has the Spirit of God put gladness into your heart? Have you been convicted of sin and shown the suitableness of Christ? And have you been found rejoicing in him? Oh, rejoice in him. Are you rejoicing? You who have loved the Lord, rejoice in him. We need to stop and think about Jesus every day. Mary, she looks to the Lord by way of faith. He's yet to be born. She's looking to the Lord by way of faith. And she's rejoicing. We cannot see him. Look to him by faith and rejoice in him. Stop each day to think of Jesus. We may have busy lives, but our lives are not that busy that we can't find time to stop for a moment or two and think of Jesus. Rejoice in him. Rejoice that he came. Think of those words in Luke 2 again. And verse 10, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. Note those words again, of great joy. The news is made known of Christ the Saviour, who will be born at Bethlehem. News of great joy. The glorious gospel. Some may give lip service in December, but look quite miserable in January. And yet the believer ought to be found rejoicing often. Tidings of great joy. There is a measure of joy in the heart of the believer. Rejoice that he came. Rejoice that he kept the law perfectly, that which you could not do. Mary, she's a sinner. She couldn't keep the law perfectly. She's rejoicing in a spotless Saviour who kept the law perfectly. Rejoice that he kept the law for you. And he suffered the penalty. Rejoice that he accomplished redemption. Rejoice that he rose again. Rejoice that he is in heaven making intercession for you even now. Rejoice there is forgiveness. There is acceptance. There is peace with God. Oh, think of him, the wonderful Saviour. Consider he is altogether lovely. Every aspect of him is so wonderful. Are we rejoicing in him? You know, you take a diamond. It's an old illustration. You turn the diamond and you see new beauties. Consider Christ as the diamond. There's so much to admire. Every look at Christ, there's so much. And as we view Christ, ought to be rejoicing in every aspect of him. Have you a new song in your mouth? Psalm 40 verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth. Literally from the Hebrew, a song fresh was put in the mouth of our Lord. That's plain in Hebrews 10. And our Lord there is thinking of his resurrection. Such a fresh song of praise now. The Lord has heard his prayer. He's been brought from the fearful pit, the miry clay, and he's singing praise because he sang praise. So the people of God can follow. He had put a new song in my mouth. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. There's much in our lives to bring us sorrow. Tears can flow down our cheeks often. Do you know tears of joy? Do you know Christ? Or is he just someone in history? Or is he someone in your heart? And though at times we may backslide and we feel the coldness, do you know what it is to rejoice in Jesus? Show to the world how precious Jesus is to you. Like Mary, you are a sinner, but you have a wonderful Saviour. Rejoice in him. Be it your aim, dear child of God, that every day you on your own would rejoice in Christ. And if you're without Christ, I pray that your misery might end. It doesn't mean to say trials will pass, but your misery might end. And you might know the joy of knowing Jesus. Dear child of God, what a blessing to know the joy of knowing Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Has there been a gap? Let there be no gaps this week. Rejoice in him every day. We read here, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Note those words one more time. My spirit hath. Have you been rejoicing in Christ tonight? Amen. Our final psalm is Psalm 40. We'll sing verses 1 through to verse 5.